Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.byteradio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my very special guest is Kenny Thomas. As a member of Bravo Company of the 3rd Ranger Battalion, Sergeant Kenny Thomas was deployed to Mogadishu, Somalia, as part of a special operations package called Task Force Ranger. Their mission was to find and capture a criminal warlord named Mohammed Farah Adid. Outnumbered 10 to 1, the men of FTFR distinguished themselves in an 18-hour firefight that would later be recounted in the highly successful book and movie Black Hawk Down. 19 Americans died and 78 were wounded. Kenny got out of the Army to pursue his music career and now works full-time as an award-winning Nashville recording artist. His band Cornbread was featured in the movie Sweet Home Alabama and regularly tours with the USO to perform for our military personnel serving in the Middle East. As an entertainer, Kenny has been recognized by Congress, the White House, and was recently inducted into the VFW Hall of Fame for his dedicated work on behalf of our veterans and military families. Kenny is also very proud to be a national spokesperson for the Special Operations Warrior Foundation, which provides college educations to children of our special operations personnel killed in combat or training. Kenny is a graduate of the University of Florida, a recipient of the American Patriot Award and the Bronze Star for Valor. And he is also author of the book, Get It On, What It Means to Lead the Way. For more information, you can visit his website, which is kennythomas.com, and that's kennithomas.com, and I do have a direct link to his website in the show page description. I'd like to welcome Kenny to the show. Good day, Kenny. Thanks for joining me today.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me.
I'm doing very, very well, thank you. I enjoyed reading Get It On. It was, very detailed. I felt like I was right there with you folks. I mean, it was a very good book.
Well, you know what? That means it worked. Thank you. And it's good. And you didn't have to get shot at, so that was even better.
I know. Boy, got all the action. Well, yeah, you know, and it was, you know, to me, it was just interesting, the dynamics of the team and everything, you know, how it all pulled together. And it was really great. It's a very inspirational story. So,
Anyway,
I'm really glad to talk to you about that and your book and your music and all of that. But let's first start with the title of your book is called Get It On, and that has special meaning. So would you explain to the listeners who may not know why that phrase?
Yeah, it was funny when we were going through the list of titles, and it was Ollie North, because I had asked Ollie to write a little recommendation for it, and he goes, you know, Kenny, you ought to think about titling this thing Get It On, because you keep saying it throughout the book. And it was really the call to action. That's how the whole day started. It was a day off from training, and a mission came down, and the guy walks out of the hangar and just sort of yells out in the courtyard, "Get it on," which meant, you know, it's time to gear up, like a firefighter or a police officer. So it wasn't like sirens and things went off. That's what they yelled. And so as I started writing the book and started figuring out the message kept talking about stepping up and gearing up and doing the right thing, and that's Get It On just seemed like the perfect title for it.
Yeah, it does, and throughout the book, you really do. I mean, people do get it on. You know, really do step up to the task at hand. So, one of the things that you cite in the very beginning of the book, you talk about leadership, and you cite the Army Manual definition on leadership, and that is, it is leadership is the process of influencing others to accomplish the mission by providing purpose, direction, and motivation. So I'd like to talk about each of those components, you know, and get your take on how that fits into leadership. So let's start with mission, you know, because often when we're hearing, you know, media talk about our servicemen on a mission, quite often that seems to be the number one topic. What is the mission?
Right. Well, and mission, it's in order for you to... there's these three elements that you'll hear me write about, and if I ever get to come speak and you're somewhere near it, I talk about these three things that they teach you in the Ranger Regiment that are key to mission success. If your whole job in the military is to successfully accomplish a mission, you're like, okay, well, they can teach you a whole career of how to do it, but there's really three things: it's planning, training, and then leadership. And leadership is what I tend to focus on, because leadership is, notice in that definition, Robert, it doesn't say anything about rank. And we get that confused quite a bit. It has nothing to do with how many stripes you have on your shoulder, with shiny things on your collar, what your pay grade is, what your title is, what your diploma is. It's got nothing to do, it has everything to do with the example that you set and the people that you serve. And so I feel like that's where I tend to focus. And the mission, if that's where it all starts, you have to make a plan. And you'll hear in the news, okay, well, what was the mission? Well, that's a mission. You got a plan at the big government level. You have a plan at the Army level. You have a plan at the battalion level, a company level, all the way down to what is your mission today? What are you setting out to accomplish? And if you have that and you're clear about what your mission is, and then you can zero in and dial it in your day-to-day how to accomplish that mission. And I think I guess what you're asking is the elements of a mission. Yeah. I mean, they teach courses on that.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. Well,
you know,
to me, it seems, I was going to say that it seems that, you know, when it comes, yeah, I mean, because you kind of hit on the fact that there's really kind of planning at each stage. So to me, it seems like, you know, that for in life, you know, that there's, you may have like many missions to accomplish, you know, so that it seems that, you know, if you want to be a leader, you know, in a particular area, or, you know, that you kind of have to identify, you know, one target, you know, kind of one goal, and then do the planning and training in the execution of that?
Correct. Mm-hmm. What do you want to accomplish? So here's an example. Last weekend, I got to go be part of a Christian men's group getaway, and they were trying to, it was just a men's retreat for the guys in the church to kind of think about what it is that they wanted to do. And I got up there and I go, well, what's your mission? And you get 30 guys raise their hand, they'll all tell you something different, because there was never a clear, no one ever sat down and said, here's our mission. And they'll say, well, what are you talking about? As a Christian, as a man, as a guy in a church, as a father, as a member of a society, what does that mean? And I'll sit there and go, that's what you have to decide. And once you're clear on your goal, once you're clear on your mission, now you can go about figuring out how to accomplish that. But until you actually, it's, you know, everybody has them. You can call them what you want, what's your mission statement. But it's very, you got to have it, because otherwise there's no focus.
Yeah. Yeah, and also the, you know, the other component in that was purpose. It seems that, you know, that, you know, that's one of those things where I think a lot of times people fail to really kind of define exactly what is the purpose of my actions.
Correct. Purpose, direction, and motivation. These are the three things that your leadership's trying to get you to do to accomplish that mission. So what's the purpose? Why are we doing this? And then at a greater level, what's your sense of purpose? Why do you feel it's important that you need to set about this calling or this quest or to make this mission happen? And the leaders, a good leader will help you define that. And you can, and generally we see it around us. We see the examples that we follow. And we're like, okay, that's a sense of purpose. That's what I want to do. But it's very basic. You're right. Why are we doing this? And that's someone has to explain that to us, and that would be the leadership.
Yeah. And one of the scenes, you know, that's on your website as well as in the book is, you know, about motivating a team is to train as they fight and fight
and
as they train. Exactly what does that mean? The training and the fighting.
Well,
how does that work together?
So your three elements of mission success, the first one is planning. Okay, let's figure out what our plan is. How do we accomplish the mission? What are our backup plans? What if this happens? What are the contingencies? And then once you create that, once you know your mission, you create this plan, now it comes to the second step, which is training. And that's this isn't some sort of military jargon that I throw out there that we came up with. This is a fundamental principle. You train as you fight, and you fight as you train. In other words, you're only going to be as good as you prepared yourself to be it. And this isn't something we make up. Like a coach, if you ever had a coach would have told you the same thing. They would have said, hey, we're going to practice like we play because when it comes down to it, we're only going to play as hard as we practice. You go to church on Sundays, you go to any kind of guidance counseling, any marriage counseling, it's just principles in life, you're going to get what you give. You're going to get out of it what you put into it. So train as you fight as you train.
Okay, that's great.
That's what that
means. Okay. You know, Robert Rogers. I think you talked about him being the first, the first Ranger. And don't forget nothing. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
good
advice. That's good
training.
Very
good.
Yeah.
Don't forget nothing.
One of the things you talked about with leadership, you know, is that there is a burden with leadership, and that basically being a leader, you know, carries a bit of weight with it. So, can you talk to us a little bit about exactly what that is, and maybe why is that? Why a lot of people, or not a lot, but a good number of people, don't step up to a leadership role?
Correct, and I think that's a good question. And when I'm telling the story, there's a part in the battle where the battle was a raid. So we went in on a target building and we accomplished the mission. We got the bad guys that were in the building. The bad guys were put on trucks. The trucks drive away. And that left about 85 guys on the target, and we're waiting to go home. So we're already getting a thumbs up from each other saying, we're just thinking about, it's done. We're getting back. It's over. And that's when the first helicopter gets shot down. So that bird goes down. And there's a human reaction. I can explain to you over the phone how we were all thinking and what we were feeling when that happened, because you felt the same thing. It's no different. It's the same. Like if you ever get in a car wreck, and it's just bam, or you've ever been in a town where the tornado came in or a flood waters came, or all you gotta do now, Robert, is turn on the TV, and there's people walking into schools and shooting other people, and we're all looking at this. You're all looking at it, going, I can't believe that's happening, and that's what we were feeling. And this is the time, because I don't think people are cowards. I don't think that people don't step up because they don't care. I think what it is that most people just don't know what to do, and they don't know their value, and they don't know that they can do something about it, which is the difference. In the military, we go about every day teaching you, okay, look, when something goes down, Now, I can't tell you when it's going down. I can't tell you where it'll go down. But I can promise you something will go down one day. And when it does, here's what you're going to do. First of all, we don't want you to get overwhelmed because there's only two choices. You have the right choice and you have the wrong choice. And we're going to teach you both, but we're going to spend most of our time working on the right choice so that when something goes down, you react. And then you make that right decision and you go and you set that example. I don't think people know that they have it in them because they haven't done the hard work. They haven't done the practicing. They haven't done the training. And so they don't know how to react. I don't think that it's – and look, man.
Okay.
Robert, I'm not telling you anything that everybody doesn't know, but when that burden of leadership is not fair. And I go into school systems all the time and that's, I'm telling those kids, hey, it's not fair. It's not right. It isn't what you signed up for. This isn't your job. You didn't raise your hand for this. I'm sorry it's happening to you, but the truth of it is that it is happening, and so what are you going to do? And that's the burden of leadership, because if you don't step up, who will? And our favorite excuse is somebody ought to do something about that. Well, yeah, the somebody is you, because if you don't do it, someone else has to. And in a culture where all you were raised in the Ranger Regiment to take care of each other. We're taught that even as kids, your parents were telling you, take care of your brother and sister. We are our brother's keeper. And if you are raised in an environment where you're taking care of each other, you can't put it on someone else. So you do something about it. And that's the burden of leadership. Sometimes it gets heavy, and we need you at the worst of times.
I can understand the idea that that many people aren't prepared for a kind of a leadership role and I guess probably push come to shove, as we've seen in a lot of like natural disasters, a lot of people do step up to the plate in a time of need.
I think so. I think there's people just don't see themselves as leaders, and it's because they don't know how easy it is to be one. It's just doing the right, set the example, and someone will follow that example, and there's going to be people that will step up, and there will be people that won't, and the people that won't are the ones that don't think that they have it in them.
I think that's what we got to
work on, is make sure that we can get everybody. We got to give them some purpose and direction and motivation, and let them know that they can make a difference.
Yeah, exactly. So you believe that really everyone really does have it within themselves to be a leader?
I absolutely.
If they, okay.
Yeah, amen. I absolutely know it. Everybody has it in them. But again, you and I right now we're condensing quite a bit of stuff in one interview, but I can tell you this, everybody has it in them, and at some point you have to make the choice. It doesn't matter how much we train you, and it doesn't matter how well you're funded or how good your equipment is or how long you've been doing it. If you don't make a choice to do the right thing in that moment, then none of it matters. So it's a choice we all make, and I still struggle with that. I find things on a weekly basis, I'm looking at going, okay, what's the right thing to do here? And, sometimes it's not what you want to do. All right, and you go and you do the right thing.
Dang. You got to listen to that voice. And that's great, because it kind of really leads me to the next question. And this one, I found interesting. There was one point you were talking about the voices of morality. You talk that basically as a soldier, you learn to ignore the voices of morality, embrace the role of a warrior, and its social outcast image. And the voices of like do not kill, war is bad, or some of those things that As I was reading that, I'm thinking, that has to just innately create conflict, in those who want to do the right thing, like you say, or listening to those voices. So how does a leader kind of work with or integrate you know, those voices. Now, and I know that military and civilian would be different, obviously, you know, in approach, but how does one work with those voices?
And that's a, man, that's a huge, and I'm almost surprised that you were reading back what I wrote, and I was like, oh, I wrote that? That's pretty good. yeah, that surprised myself there. It's a tough one, and it takes a lot of training, and they train that into you, that necessity to do what needs to be done at the moment it needs doing. But when it comes down to it, I don't think there's not a lot of us that struggle with. We didn't struggle with the lives we took. Because a battle is, it's nothing personal. Like the guy shooting at you, I got nothing against him other than the fact that he's shooting at me, and it, or, more importantly, right. is that he could hit one of my guys.
Yeah.
And it became about it really. In a nutshell, and I kind of get it. Like, if you go back, and I bet if you could go back to Gettysburg and talk to any of those guys that were on the line, they would all tell you at some point we're in a phone interview, and I'm making it kind of quick, but when you see the death right there in front of you, it's not as traumatic as we've learned it should be in the movies. I mean, because, you know, in the movies, the guy rolls over, he plays dead, he looks like he goes to sleep, there's this music, everybody's crying, and it's just not. All that really happens is the life just ends. The body,
right.
it's very clear when the life ends. Now, the trauma of it is the loss in your life, and the friend, or knowing that his family's going to be sad for the rest, you know, missing him. But that part of that trauma isn't the life part isn't the big deal. It's, and since there's no attachment to the person who's shooting at you, you don't know
right.
them. I don't, that part of it doesn't really affect us as much as it comes down to, I don't want it to happen to my guys. And
right.
everybody comes to peace with it. Like, if I die here, I die here. But I'm not going to let it happen to the guy next to me. And that's why I think you go to Gettysburg, you go to World War II, you go, World War II vets will not tell you, I promise you, in the middle of the fight, they were not thinking about overthrowing Nazi Germany or fascist Japan. Nobody's thinking about overthrowing ISIS or Al-Qaeda or the terrible things they do. They're just thinking, take care of each other. That's what it's so basic. And you, if you go into it, with these moral questions in your head, you'll hesitate, and that's why they try and train that out of you, so that you can do what needs to be done when it needs doing. As harsh as that sounds, that's the way it is.
I understand that, and it makes sense, you know, in the sense of you know, to be able to accomplish your mission and to be able to do it effectively. And now, when you've got this conditioning or this, you know, perspective that's provided to you, after you got out of the Army, did that carry over, or was there like a shift, you know, from that, or is that kind of still ingrained in you, having been trained so?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And yes, the answer is yes, it's still there, and no, it's not there as much as it was. And the challenge is this: I can't speak for everybody, but I know a lot of my friends are the same way. One of the struggles and one of the challenges of coming out of that world and coming back into the real world is you. There's a tough transition to, and I think the word I'm looking for, Robert, is compassion. There's a tough transition where you have compassion and value of a human life. In other words, if you fell down, if you and I were hanging out having lunch and you fell over and started choking, I would know what to do. And I would jump in there and do the Heimlich, and I would save you, and everything would be fine. But if I couldn't, and or you get or and it was just and you died and there was a loss of life, there
right.
would be a tough. There's a part of me that would just shut down and really not have a whole lot of emotion about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the, and that comes from that. That I think that comes from that conditioning, as you said, and that training, and
right.
that there's a
yeah.
devaluation in our
yeah.
minds of human life, if that makes sense. I don't know if it's such
yeah.
a deep topic to try and explain, but that's what that's the best way I know.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can understand that, and I think, you know, compassion is a good word because, you know, whenever there is a loss of life, you know, in front of you, someone dies in front of you, I'm sure there's that, you know, leap into action, you know, take, you know, do what you can kind of thing, you know, it's like in your case supporting your team when you're out in the field, you know, and then there's whatever the result would be, and then, you know, and having, you know, if you're under fire and you have that moment of reflection or hesitation, then it could be deadly for you. So it's important that not be there when you're in that particular moment.
Correct. It could be deadly
yeah.
for you or the guys on your left and right.
Yeah, very much so.
Yes.
Well, I just wanted to let listeners know that in a few minutes, we're going to take just a real quick break, about a 90-second break here. And I do want to invite listeners, if you'd like to call in and ask Kenny any questions, you can call in at 619-789-4359. And for those of you listening live in the chat room, if you have any questions that you would like for me to pose to Kenny, feel free to type them in and we'll get to them right after the break. So, one more question before we go to break. And that was in your book, there's one part that you talk about taking routine for granted that it causes complacency. And then complacency is going to lead to other issues. So, you know, as I was reading your book, you know, I mean, besides being engrossed in the action that you're describing, you know, I'm also kind of applying it to my life, you know, and kind of looking at the things that I do or the people that I know, what they do, and see any correlation, you know, in ways that maybe I can help, you know, improve my life, you know, by being a more effective leader and that kind of thing. So in one of those areas, the idea of routine and complacency, to me, that struck a nerve. I know a few people who are very complacent, you know, and so if you wouldn't mind, I'd like for you to talk to us a little bit about, you know, routine, complacency, and then what can one do to alleviate that? Or what did the Army do to make sure that, you know, its soldiers don't become complacent?
Pish, another great question. You came well prepared, my friend.
thank you, sir.
There is. The complacency comes, in the military we call our habits that are done on a normal basis, there's a standard operating procedure, and there's an SOP for just about everything that's done on a regular basis. And the idea of the SOP is to get everybody in the same sheet of music. It may not be the only way to do it, but this way works. And so we're going to get everybody doing this instead of, because if you don't give everybody a way to do it, what do? They all do their own thing. And that is not productive. Now, what ends up happening is when they become your day-to-day SOPs and things that you do all the time, they also become habits. And what we have a tendency to do, the human nature in us, is to just sort of skip some of it because we say things like, it's never happened before, or I've never had to use that piece of equipment, or I don't know why this is even in there, I don't need to do it, and that will be the time. Because it's there for a reason. Somewhere, someone, somebody learned the lesson, and they put it in there because it happened. And so we end up skipping that step, and that's the one that comes back and bites us. And I'll tell you what happens. It's never like really the big things. You know, the devil's always in the details. And one of the stories I tell is about during the run out of the city the next morning, when it got so far beyond our any kind of contingency plan. I mean, it got to the point where there were only 25 guys left, and we were just running. There were no more rides. There were no more helicopters, and it just got kind of – there was this that knot in your stomach wants to start turning into panic. And I've always call it – I have an eloquent way of calling that. It's a case of the screw-its. We just say, screw it. I'm not going to stick to the – do the things we're supposed to do. And it's – what's the first thing we teach our kids to do when we cross the street? We teach them to look both ways. Like, look both ways. And if people are shooting, that's a really good principle. And we have a technique for it. We have an SOP. And what you start seeing guys doing was just going, screw it. There's no reason to stop and look both ways. Just run for it. And it starts leaving other guys hanging. That's all that panic does anyway. Panic just makes you save yourself. And when you start skipping little steps, like looking both ways, that'll be the time that some bad guy steps out of the alleyway and fires a rocket at you because you weren't looking, because you just were like, you know, I skipped that step and you got complacent. Now, how do you combat that? That's when you absolutely need good people around you, because somebody's watching after you. And that's where the double checks are in place, and that's where you square away your buddies. And we always say that, square away your buddies, set them up for success, don't set them up for failure, and you're taking care of each other. And fortunately, there's going to be somebody, and in our case, in my squad, it happened to be Private Floyd, who was looking and doing what he was supposed to be doing because he didn't get complacent. And he saved a lot of lives in the blink of an eye. And it goes into our daily lives. We if you get complacent, and you may, and you know, it's easy to say, Robert, well, hey, we don't, this isn't a life or death situation. I work in an office building, or I'm teaching school. Hey, if you think for 1 second that your life doesn't affect people, and what you choose to do and what you choose not to do doesn't affect people in a positive or a negative manner, I think you're sadly undervaluing your ability to affect change. Everything we do, people around us in one way or another, and when we get complacent, it's going to leave people hanging every single time. And that's why but you cannot do this alone. As the Army teaches you, you got to have somebody watching your back, and that's how we double check and put those safeties in place for our own human nature of complacency.
Okay. Well, you know, that's good to know. I mean, you know, I agree with you that, you know, people who feel that their life, you know, really doesn't affect others or doesn't have that purpose or that sense of meaning, to me, those really are the people who quite often fall into that complacency mode, you know, that it's doing the daily routine, going in, you know, going to work, you know, coming home, eating, going, watching TV, going to sleep, going back to work, you know. And, you know, it seems to me that it was like you kind of want to sometimes just shake it up and say, hey, wait a minute, you know, there's more that you can do, you know, just
right.
Just to break
well,
out
I mean,
of that.
Yeah, and let me ask you this. Why do you think that it's those people who don't see themselves, they don't know their value, why do you think they're the ones that are more likely to be complacent? I mean, why is that?
Yeah, well, you know, it is obviously because they don't see the impact that they have on others, you know, if someone were there, like you say, kind of mirror back to them exactly, you know, what they mean or what, you know, what their inactivity, you know, is doing and the kind of role that it's setting, the kind of example that it's setting, you know, that might help someone kind of shift and kind of take it. But I think that, you know, finding that sense of purpose and then kind of, you know, going for it, you know, and get it on, really, is the way to get it going in the right direction. But let me go ahead and take a real quick break here and see if we have any callers. And then when we come back,
okay.
What I'd like to do is kind of talk and maybe get from you what you feel are some of the characteristics of a good or an effective leader, okay?
Sure.
Okay, everyone, stay tuned. We'll be right back after this very brief break.
This is Robert Sharp from Bringing Inspiration to Earth. There are several ways for a win-win situation where you can support our work and you receive a quality product. You can purchase the book or ebook of Joy Potential or It's No Secret Spirituality Bites. Each book has helped readers shift their perspective away from negativity towards a happier, less stressful life. Or you can shop at our wellness store, where we offer essential oils, personal care, and wellness products. I am a very frugal shopper, and these are high-quality items I use that really contribute to my well-being. Or you can purchase our amazing nature photo greeting cards. These are great, all-occasion, unique 5x7 folding cards. They're my most popular nature photos, and everyone who has received one raves about the scene. All options are available at our website, www.biteradio.me, and I am very appreciative of your support of our efforts and the work of our special radio guests.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. Again, today my very special guest is Kenny Thomas. He's a former Army Ranger. He is an award-winning Nashville recording artist, also author of Get It On, What It Means to Lead the Way. Again, you can find out more about Kenny by visiting his website, which is kennythomas.com, and that's K-E-N-I.com. And there you'll be able to find out, you'll be able to watch some videos, you'll be able to purchase his music and other items in his store, and also information about booking Kenny to be a speaker at your event or your organization. So definitely go ahead and support Kenny that way. So with that, we're back. Kenny?
Hey.
All righty. Okay. Well, let's talk about the characteristics that you feel are of a good leader.
Well, gosh, man, I thought about that when you said it. And one of the things that when I start out the book, I say, I'm certainly not here. There's a 100 different books written on how to be a great leader, and there's all these different acronyms, and even the military in our leadership courses, you know, they've got the pillars of leadership, they've got the 5 C's, confidence, candor, character, commitment, courage, and all these things. And I think if you really boil it down, and the big word is, what are the characteristics? Well, it's character, and that's the word. We throw it up on posters, and we put it in our wall lockers, and we put it, you know, we want our kids to be hang out with kids of good character. We want to be known as people of good character. And you're like, what is it? What's care? It's that foundation that gives you that ability to do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. And all those other self-help books are all that it's just really doing is it's building character. And that used to be, that was kind of our catchphrase when stuff started sucking or it got hard or you felt like you wanted to complain about something, they would just go, hey, it builds character. Because character is built on the tough times. I don't know anybody that's had it easy all their lives that has a good strong fiber or a good strong character. it takes some spills and disappointments and learning and getting back up and doing it again. And all that stuff comes under character. And when you have that character, you start making the right decisions, and everything else becomes a byproduct of that. People look at you, and they trust you as a leader. They can count on you as a leader. They have, you know, Patton would tell you the single most important characteristic in a great soldier is confidence. Confidence, and that comes from confidence in your training, confidence in your plan, confidence in the equipment, confidence in leadership. But all of that, still to me, comes under the building of character. It's what we do with our soldiers. It's what we do with our kids. It's what we try and do with each other. It's what you're doing with your site and your blog. You're building people's character.
Boy, that was the best answer. I'm gonna remember that one for future use. Well, that's really great, and it is very true. You know, I mean, all of those descriptors do fall under the umbrella of character. You know, and to be of good character, whenever you see, you come across someone who exemplifies that, I think it's just there's an innate draw and an attraction to someone who is genuine and you know, follows their guiding principles.
Yeah, that's a great way to say it. And you know it when you see it. It's hard to describe, but you know it when you see it.
Yep, and feel it. Yeah, very much so.
You know it when you feel it, for sure.
Yep.
I don't think my wife married me because of my looks.
You know? Oh, I don't know. I had quite a few ladies on my...
Yeah.
Quite a few ladies
or
on my
music or anything like that. Yeah, I think she was more impressed by the attention to the character the importance of it that I place on.
Yeah, it is. That is. Yeah. You know, that is. Yeah, that's great. One of the things in the section that you had about extraordinary people, there was one statement that you had, and I'm going to go ahead and read it. It's, the hardest part of wearing the uniform is getting up every morning saying, today I will better myself. Today I will set an example for others to follow. Today I will shoulder more than my share of the task. In whatever way it may be, 100% and then some. So do you feel that, you know, that that kind of draw or that belief of making each day, waking up each day, trying to be a better person is really kind of what anyone can use as a kind of a motivating factor to become a better person?
Yeah, absolutely. There was a point to saying the Ranger Creed every day. The Ranger Creed had six stanzas. It started with the words R-A-N-G-E-R, Ranger. And we would say this every day. And the point is, when you say something every day, Robert, you'll start believing it. It's the way the brain works. And when you believe something, that's when you start living it, which is, you know, one of my biggest messages out there is, hey, look, getting back to extraordinary people, don't buy into the lie that the world sells us every day, which is that extraordinary is someone else. It's somebody who's, they have a medal, or they have a plaque, or they have a diploma, they have a degree, they made a song, they did a painting. But that's not what makes them extraordinary. It's that they chose to get up and do something with the gifts that they had and do something with the person that they are, whatever it may be. And that's I'm trying to tell people, look, stop saying that you're ordinary. Like if you're saying that and you're going to say enough that you're going to start believing it, and then when you think, what's the point? I really don't make much of a difference. I'm not really going to try. If you start telling yourself you're exceptional, you start telling yourself that you're extraordinary, you start believing that you're one of a kind creation, and that you've got all these gifts and talents and weapon systems and tools and experience in you to affect people, that's you'll start believing it. And then once you believe it, you'll live it. And living it is still, you got to get up and you got to do the hard work. You got to know, okay, today I'm going to try and be better at what I do. And I promise you, you say that prayer in the morning, some sort of challenge will hit you during the day that's going to make you step outside of your comfort zone and try and be a little bit better than you would have been. And it's a constant endeavor. But absolutely everybody has it in them.
Yeah.
It's there.
You know, when I read that one, I just thought, you know, that is such a powerful series of statements to make as you wake up every morning, you know, because you're really setting yourself up to make the most of the day and make it more than what you may even expect it to be.
Yeah, exactly. How do we improve our skill sets? You know, how does our muscle build? Well, you push it beyond what it's used to. And most of us now, and I myself struggle with it. We go and we pick, you know, hey, pick your battles. True. But we tend to just go out there and work at the things that we know we're good at and that we're gonna succeed at. But there's these other things over here that maybe are areas of improvement, and we just tend to ignore them. You know, it's easy for me to get on a stage and sing. It's easy for me to get on a telephone and talk. But then when it comes down to coming over here and really giving my time to help out this charity or to really sit down and be a good listener to a friend, these are areas that I probably need some improvement in, and I tend to shy away from those things. But those are the exact areas that you got to go meet them head on. And then when you start asking for that and you start making that a daily thing, you'll be surprised how quickly those opportunities in your life to build that character start showing up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Yes, I do know. Yes. You know, I've had many a time when those character building situations pop up. But it's interesting because though it is not only kind of addressing those situations, but overcoming them. You know, it is that action and the results that lead to being able to help someone, the next person come along who is facing a similar situation, where you can provide that support and guidance as to what you experienced, so that they can either, you know, do it maybe better or quicker, or at least even get through it where they thought they may not be able to.
That's great advice. That'd be really great advice. You're always further down the road than somebody else, and that somebody else is, you can help them. And then by helping them, we always help ourselves.
Exactly. Well, you know, you say getting up and singing is no problem. I have to ask you about your music. You know, let's talk a little bit about that. Your music, what is it that you love about your music? What do you hope that your music does for those who listen to it?
Well, man, music is a disease that you're born with, and I don't think there is a cure, thank God. But it's always been a part of me. It's what I do. The idea that I got up here to Nashville and got paid to write songs is beyond me. Like that, it's just because I would be writing songs anyway. But the good thing is that you get a lot better at it because you're writing with other people who are really good at it. What I know where my music, if I do a speaking event, I always play a song at the end because I don't know why. I don't know how it does it. I don't even pretend to know how it does it. But music reaches people differently. And I could tell a story for 50 minutes and then sing a 3.5-minute song and it'll make people feel something. Mm-hmm. So it's powerful, and they always tell you, you've heard that thing like, hey, you want God to start laughing, tell him what your plans are. It never really quite goes the way that you planned it to go. I'm not out there on a tour bus, but I'm out there on airplanes every week meeting different people, telling a story, and singing music. And I love what I get to do, and I think I'm doing what I want to do with my music, which is that it's reaching.
Yeah.
I don't have the ability to write. I'm just not good at country music on the radio is sort of a fun, up-tempo, party, really light hearted thing. And that's great. But, man, I'm not 25 anymore. And so I don't think that way. I'm thinking more of purpose. And so I'm trying to write some things that are fun, but they got some meaning to them. And I've found the place that people want that. So I'm happy where it's at. So and
well, that's great. I mean, that's right. Well, you know, there is something about music. You know, just melody. There's something about the vibration of music. You know, that really does, I think, help people. It's one of those, I think it's, you know, the delivery, you know, the method of delivery that really, I think, opens up people to the message, you know, being delivered, you know, and, you know, I think people are more receptive. I mean, if they're hearing music, they've, you know, there's that sound vibration as well as, I mean, if it's, you know, upbeat or even if it's more of a meaningful, purposeful song, you know, that the message seems to resonate much clearer with that.
You're right. Yeah.
Now, has your music, do you just kind of just get this inspiration for a song, or how does the writing come to you? I mean, is it any time, any day? And how does Kenny kind of create the song, so to speak?
You know, they'll tell you, and I think that with almost any kind of art, the arts, they'll tell you that it's there. What on the days that the really great songs come, like we're all good here in Nashville at what we do. We're all good songwriters, and we all get together. Like today, I came from a writing appointment to come in here and do the interview. We got together and we wrote a really good song. But there's days that when you just know it. It almost felt like all you really did was you were just the messenger. Like all I did was copy down what what the spirit of God had already created. It was already there. And Michelangelo will tell you that, and then the great painters and the sculptors and the musicians will all tell you. It's something we're constantly thinking about, and then when we actually sit down and do the craft. It comes together.
Yeah.
When you're really, really fortunate, you're really tuned in, it shows up. Otherwise, it's like anything else. You get good at it by doing it all the time.
Practice. You know? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, if you were to kind of put into words what you feel your current mission is, what would Kenny's mission in life right at the moment be?
Oh, man. You know, Robert, no one's ever asked me that. That actually makes me have to stop and think. But I know where I'm at. And what
okay.
I think the message is, you know, I've told the story of Black Hawk Down just so much. And it's amazing how much one day in our lives defines us. But I've told that story, and I go out and I see, and I think where I'm at now is it's to get to that message of how important and how basic it is just to take care of each other. Because at some point I realized, I think that's where I'm at with my walk and my faith, and that's where I'm kind of, you learn different things as you tell the story. I used to really focus on training, and I used to focus on, you know, mission and sense of purpose. And now I've gotten to the point where what I'm focusing on is it's, you matter. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you're doing for a living. But I do know there's people on your left and your right. And alone, you will fail. Together, in its most basic, if you take care of that person that you come into contact with on a daily basis, and they're taking care of you, then it frees us up. We don't have to worry about saving ourselves. And first of all, saving ourselves doesn't really work. It's exhausting. Alone, you're going to fail. I think that's what my mission is right now. I get asked to come into churches every now and then, but not a lot. I think the churches are doing just fine teaching whatever it is they're trying to teach. Where I'm at is I'm out there in a different world. If you were to advertise yourself as a Christian speaker, you would never, not Coca-Cola, GM, all the big corporations, they would not let you in their front door because they're afraid of what, you know, they don't want to, it just wouldn't work. But if you go in there and you're telling people, take care of each other, do the right thing, and you're telling them these messages that we all learned as kids and that most of the New Testament was about anyway, that's the way I kind of see it. And I think my mission is to use the folks on my left and my right, whoever it is that I get to come in contact with, and just try and make them see themselves a little bit differently. And that is, I think we're all a little more important and a little more extraordinary than we give ourselves credit to be. And the challenge there is once you understand what you're capable of, and then you have to live up to it. And I think that's why a lot of us sell ourselves short. I'll ask you this. What's the first thing you do, your inclination, when someone comes up and gives you a really nice compliment, you know, like, hey, you know, you were just freaking awesome and all that. You know, what's the first thing you want to, that you try and do?
Yeah. Well, Now, are you asking me for my?
I'm asking you.
Okay.
If someone came up to you and said, "Hey,
what,
Robert, you're the great."
Yeah. What I used to do, it was like first discount it. Oh no, no, blah 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 blah. But now I just say thank you. You know what I mean?
Yep. There you go.
You know. Yeah.
And that's a great step for. It took me a year of counseling to learn that, Robert. You just told it to me in one time. People would come up and go, "Hey, your speech meant this," or "Thank you for doing that," and I would just discredit it all, because you don't want to have to live up to what people think you are. And then it just took a long time for me to learn the best thing to do is do what Robert does, just say thank you.
Yeah, yeah, you know, in that kind of thing, it's just, you know, and all of that was kind of just a self-image thing, and also sometimes, you know, I mean, I was taught not to be prideful, you know, and that kind of thing.
Right.
And so, but, you know, if I found that, you know, if it affects a person in a positive way, that truly is, I truly am thankful for that. And
yep.
So that, it, you know, and however that works out, you know, God bless them, so to speak, you know.
Yeah.
So.
I think you're right. You know, when someone gives you a compliment, you gotta look at it this way. That's the nicest thing that they know to say at the time, because that's what they would want to hear. So they come,
right.
That's what they would say to you. And so if you go in, you discredit it and you negate it. Who have you really negated? You've negated a little bit of what they believe in you. So just say thank you.
Yeah, it's kind of like, what do you mean? You know what it took for me to come up and say that to you. Yeah, yeah, very much.
Right, exactly right.
Well, Kenny, this has really been a lot of fun. This has really been a lot of fun. I really want to thank you for your time today. It's really been a treat. I've enjoyed our talk a lot.
Me too, man. Thank you. You had some really great questions, and it made – I love having to think, you know, other than it. You get a lot of people who just ask you the normal stuff, you know, like, hey.
Yeah. Well, I try to, you know,
in the battle and that kind of thing. So thank you.
I read your book. And I enjoyed it. So I really wanted to make sure that, you know, I mean, I wanted to kind of present to you the things that made me think, you know, as well. So it's been a true joy. Now, you are on Facebook and Twitter, so people can follow you there, correct?
Absolutely.
Great. I'm following
you
there.
And hey, Robert,
there, so.
I was going to add. Mm-hmm. If you guys, I know that if you, that it's, the broadcast is available on your site. If you get some questions coming in and stuff, and they trickle in, send them to me, and I'll do my best to get back to them. I'm usually on a plane somewhere, but I will get back to them. I want to answer people.
Well, that is absolutely great. Thank you very much. Yeah, that link that I provided, it will be on my archives from now until till whenever. So, and I'll be sure to forward any questions or comments or compliments to you as well. I believe in keeping that going forward. So, thanks a lot.
Yeah, you're doing a good work, man. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Okay, again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Kenny Thomas. He is, again, a former Army Ranger and an award-winning Nashville recording artist, and also author of Get It On, What It Means to Lead the Way. And again, you can find out more about Kenny and also his speaking engagements by visiting his website, which is kennythomas.com, and that's kenithomas.com. And again, I do have a direct link to his website in the show page description. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show, and until we meet again. Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's biteradio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me. And our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.